certainly a tremendous joy to be able to reflect on that song we just heard, and to know that you're born again, and to know that you have become God's child through His mercy and through His grace. And certainly it's the cry of all of our hearts, Lord, help me to walk worthy, keep me walking worthy. And yet the fact of the matter is, we all know that that's an incredibly hard thing to do. In my Sunday morning Bible study class, we were talking about just very basic Christianity. And one of the gentlemen in the class said, you know what, Greg, it's hard being a Christian, isn't it? And my immediate response was, of course it is. Because every day we fight sin within our own hearts. That song we sang right before the special, Oh God, My Joy, right? Compelled by joy, I fight the sin that turns my gaze from your glory. And every day you're fighting the same thing I'm fighting. There is sin within me that turns my gaze from God's glory. So how is it that we change? How is it that we grow? How is it that we make progress in our Christian lives? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're in a mini-series on God's Word. And I want to go ahead and review, even as I've had these the last couple of times, just to kind of make sure we're all on the same page together. And I love the review, because even the reviews are a great blessing to me when I think how incredibly blessed we are to have a Bible. We've been talking about the fact that the Bible is God's Word, and what do we know? We know, first of all, that God's Word is inspired. Literally, that means God breathed. And as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, I'm reading the ESV this time, all Scripture is breathed out by God. So when you take your Bible and you open it, you're dealing with words that are God-breathed, that have come out of the very mouth of God. And that's incredible. And of course, God is a God of truth. And since a God of truth is breathed out God's Word, then it would only make sense that God's Word is inerrant, which is another way of saying God's Word is without error. How do we know that? Well, John 17:17, our church verse says, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. And remember, truth, there's not an adjective, it's a noun. God's word's not only true, it is true. God's word is truth, it's the standard of truth. So God's word is inspired, we covered that a few weeks back. God's word is inerrant, we covered that a few weeks back. And then it's God's word that saves. This book is incredible. It's not just a compilation of God-breathed words. It's not just a compilation of inerrant words. It's actually, a supernatural book that births life as the Holy Spirit would use it in our hearts. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth. That's literally, He birthed us. How? By the word of truth. We are saved as God the Holy Spirit does a supernatural work of grace in our hearts, and He does it through the Word. And thus we have a Word that's not only inspired and inerrant, we have a Word that saves. And as I mentioned last time, if that's where we left it, we would just say, praise God, I have this wonderful book, and the Lord used it in my life, and I'm going to keep it on the shelf, and whenever I see somebody who's not saved, I'm going to share it with them. But it's more than that, because God's Word not only saves, but God's Word sanctifies the believer. And so we again consider John 17:17, which says, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. And rather than focusing on the your word is truth part, we talked about the sanctified part. How is it that we're sanctified? How is it that we grow? How is it that we change? How is it that we fight the sin that turns our face from our Father's glory? And it all goes back to the Word. God's Word sanctifies, but it's more than that. Tonight we're going to consider that God's Word progressively sanctifies. And something that I don't think will be brand new for anyone that's worshipped with us for a long time, it's something that may be different. As I teach this in my classes, even this past week or two, I had a young man just hanging out after class saying, can I talk to you? And I said, of course, what's up? He said, Dr. Mazak, I've been a Christian a long time. I have never in my life heard explained what you explained today in class. And I said, I'm glad that you've heard it. And as you ponder it and think about it, if you have any questions, let me know. You say, Greg, what did you share with him? The very thing that I'll be reviewing with you tonight, that it's God's word that progressively sanctifies. We're going to look just at two texts, 1 Peter 2:2 and 2 Corinthians 3:18. Father, we thank you for the joy of being born again. We thank you that we can be your children. And Lord, we want to serve you. We want to be good followers of Jesus Christ. And yet to do that, we have to fight the sin that turns our face from your glory. And Lord, you have given us a word that enables us to do that, a word that you use in our lives to sanctify us progressively. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand this, not just theologically, not just as an exercise that's somewhat academic, but Lord, as something that would within help us to follow Jesus more faithfully and to do a better job of bringing you the glory that you're worthy of receiving. Lord, to that end, would you bless us tonight as we open up your word as an act of worship? Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's word progressively sanctifies. I encourage you to open up your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, if you're not already there. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, I'll start reading at verse 1. In 1 Peter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy and all slander, verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. What do we see here? Very simply, we are progressively sanctified through the milk of the word. Sanctify is to grow, to be set apart, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. How does that happen? It happens through the milk of the word. Now, I'm preaching from a New American Standard. It says, long for the pure milk of the word. Some of you have a King James Bible, which is fine. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word. And I know many of you read in ESV, it says, long for the pure spiritual milk. And that's just a little bit different. This word that is translated as milk of the word in the NASB and KJV, spiritual in the ESV, it is a word that refers to, I quote from Hebert's commentary, a kind of milk that is characterized by its association with the word. So we can translate it here, the milk of the word, or because it's associated with the word, you could also translate it spiritual milk. And even if you have an ESV and it says spiritual milk, which is fine, in context, you know the spiritual milk is the word. And just in case you're wondering, Greg, how do I know that? Just look at the bottom of chapter 1, the very end of chapter 1, right before the beginning of chapter 2 in your Bible. What is Peter talking about? Verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. And verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which is preached to you. So if you're reading a translation that has the spiritual milk, it's obvious it's the milk of the word. Or if you translate it as the milk of the word, as my Bible does, the New American Standard, that is certainly fine. We're talking about the fact that we're progressively sanctified through the milk of the word, which means what? First of all, we must crave God's word as babies crave milk. Notice again, verse 2, please. Like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word. One translation has desire the pure milk of the word. Another translation says crave the milk of the word. And it's just a normal thing. You guys know this, right? Babies crave milk. When a baby is fussy, what do? Well, you might do a couple different things, but then finally someone says, hey, maybe he or she's hungry. And the baby's craving milk. And that's just a normal thing for a baby. What is true of Christians? Christians crave God's word. Show me a person who has no desire to read God's word. We're looking at a person whose salvation is in question. And I know that you might say, come on, Greg, isn't that a little bit harsh? That's what the scriptures teach. Why would it be that we would crave God's word? Notice verse 3. if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Let me rephrase that. If you've been saved. Like a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the word, if you're really a believer, because this is what believers do. Babies crave milk. Believers crave the word. And you might say, now, Greg, there are times in my life where I've gotten out of regular Bible reading. I understand that. And for some of us, I'm one of them, when I first got saved, I struggled with regular Bible reading so long. And I tried and I failed and I tried and I failed and I tried and I failed and I had good times and bad times. But you know what? Even if you would have stopped me during a bad time and said, should you be reading the word? I would have said yes. And I want to. And I know I should. And even when I'm not, I'm convicted that I'm not. Even that, I think, is a testimony to a true work of grace in a believer's heart. So we must crave God's word as babies crave milk. Now, to try to encourage you, some of you might say, Greg, man, I'm really, really struggling. And maybe what we need to do is make sure that we're not filling up on junk food that would lessen our longing for real spiritual milk. You say, well, what do you mean? Notice verse 1 again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, Peter writes, putting aside all malice, putting aside all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, whatever it is that is sinful, we need to set that aside. That would be like junk food. You know, if you want to have good physical health, then what do? You have to learn to say no to some things, or at least keep them in moderation. Those things that are maybe, we'll just say, snacks that are non-healthy snacks or whatever the case might be. And we need to do that spiritually, right? I mean, it is certainly true that any one of us, maybe what we need to do sometimes is take seriously our Bible reading, take it so seriously that we say, you know what, I'm going to limit my television until I have my Bible reading taken place. And I'm not for a second suggesting you get rid of a television. I mean, if you want to, fine. If not, that's fine too. But maybe we would say, you know, I'm going to limit computer games. And maybe before, especially for our younger ones, before I get too involved in computer games, I'm going to make sure I focus on my Bible reading. Or before I get too involved in Facebook, or whatever it is, that we would say, Lord, I don't want to be eating these things that take me away from something that's more profitable. We need to crave God's word as babies crave milk. Nancy and I sometimes, I would assume this is common, sometimes you just have a nice time talking about memories. And God has blessed us with so many nice memories of our families and different things we've done through the years. During Christmas time, it's been our habit that we would head up to Ohio to see our parents, my parents, her parents, and let the grandparents see the grandkids. And we would always take a few, when the girls were small, we'd always take a few bottles and we'd put them in a little cooler. And so the girls are in the back seat, in a car seat, and we're driving, and then all of a sudden one of them wakes up. We would leave at, I don't know, sometimes 1 in the morning or so, because we would want to get as many miles in before they wake up. And those of you with young children, maybe you do that as well, because once they wake up, things get more challenging. And then one of the girls would wake up and cry and whine, and what does she need? She needs a bottle. And so Nance would reach in the back into the cooler. We'd grab that bottle. We'd put it on the dashboard. We'd put it right on the window defroster vent. And we'd turn it on high heat and just crank it up, right? And there's a baby in the back, whichever one, crying. And here we are, you know. And it's like, hang in there, honey. We'll get it. And she's crying. And it's like, ooh, I think it's still too cold, you know. But the car's getting too hot. So, you know, get the window down a little bit so we can keep the defroster on high so we can get that bottle hot. And then eventually the bottle would warm up to the place where we thought the young child in the back seat and the car seat would appreciate it. And then we take that and we shake it all up and we hand it back. And assuming it's warm enough, then one of the young girls in the back just takes it and she's fine. And instantly, it's just an incredible change. You say, what was she doing? She was craving milk. And just like a young baby would do that, we as God's people would crave God's word as babies crave milk. Why? Because that's how we grow. We progressively, spiritually grow as babies progressively, physically grow. What's the baby's goal? The newborn baby's goal, verse 2, is not just to crave milk, to be a milk connoisseur. The baby's goal is to drink milk, and the baby craves milk, so the baby will grow. That's the illustration that Peter's using. We're not supposed to be craving God's word just to be a connoisseur of God's word. But we're craving God's word so that we can spiritually grow. This is how we fight the sin that turns our face from God's glory. We must be in God's word. And as we're in God's word, we grow. And how do children grow? Progressively. A little bit at a time. And I talk to people, and I get it because I struggle with the same thing. I don't want to grow a little bit at a time. I just want to do it right now. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't work that way with babies, and it doesn't work that way with God's children either. We progressively, spiritually grow by taking in the word every day, in the same way a baby brings in milk, takes in milk every day, and progressively spiritually grows. I've actually have some applications for this first point. Only 2 points tonight. We'll have some applications after the second one, okay? Just some basic applications. What, guys? We must read God's word daily. And I know maybe, perhaps, you're thinking, you know, you've kind of been emphasizing this a lot, Greg. I am still getting emails from this congregation. Wonderful emails. Greg, I've heard this so many times, but thank you, because I'm getting back to Bible reading. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm pretty safe preaching this, because if there's people here who aren't reading regularly, hopefully this will encourage them. And I'm not going to be overly uptight about all the people that are reading regularly, because if you're reading your Bible regularly, you're not sitting here tonight saying this again. You're sitting here tonight saying, oh, God, please. Help him and help her, because I know what it's like when I wasn't doing it. But by your grace, Lord, you've helped me, and I'm doing it, and I love it. And I would gladly sit through another message if there's a brother or sister here that would be encouraged. Plan to read God's word daily. And then remember, since growth is progressive, be patient as you struggle. Growth takes time. Sometimes we get so frustrated. I can't believe, whatever the struggle is, I can't believe I cussed again. I can't believe I said that to my wife again. I told God so many times I was going to love her, and I messed up again. I can't believe that whatever, I had a really bad day, and I didn't go straight home from work, and I stopped somewhere. I said I was never going to stop again. And did something I said I was never going to do again. Or I got home and went on the computer and looked at a site I said I was never going to look at again. Okay, I'm not saying that's acceptable, but the fact of the matter is, praise God that he forgives us as we confess our sin, and then just get into the word and keep being in the word, and just day by day continue to be in the word. And you say, but Greg, I'm still having these desires from within that are so hard. I understand. Get in the word. I'm in the word. Keep in the word. You say, I'm keeping in the word. Spend more time in the word. Because this is the vehicle that God uses to change us. And it's not just for us, but it's for the next guy. If progressive sanctification is a reality, then it's not just for me, it's for all believers. Let's be patient with our brothers and our sisters. You know, I think I'm going to leave that church, you know, because someone gave me a hard time. Well, you know, someone's always going to give you a hard time because they're in the same thing you're in. They're in progressive sanctification. You know, or I can't believe my parents actually did this, or I can't believe my kids actually did this, or I can't believe the pastor. That we're all walking through progressive sanctification together. And I'm praying that God helps me to be patient with you. And I pray that God will help you to be patient with me. We are all in this walk together. You say, no, you're supposed to be beyond this. You're a pastor. No, no such thing as clergy and laity. Come on, we've talked about that. That's Roman Catholicism. That's not New Testament teaching. I am no different than you, except maybe my gifts are different. And we're all serving Christ in different ways, and we're all following Jesus together. And let's be patient with one another. And as people say things maybe they shouldn't say or fail to say things they should have said, let's keep praying for them and encouraging them as they progressively grow. And just a fourth and final point, if this is true, and I believe progressive sanctification is true, be cautious of crash diets. There are no spiritual shortcuts to spirituality. You know, I don't think this is a new revelation. If you're ever online or listening to the radio or something and they say, diet guaranteed to work, eat anything you want, no exercise, and lose weight. Okay? Too good to be true, click here. Well, let me just tell you something. It is too good to be true. Don't bother clicking. It's a lie. I mean, that's not rocket science. You say, well, you don't even know what it says. I don't even have to know what it says. And any diet that says eat what you want, don't exercise, drop a lot of weight quickly, is you've already spent too much time on it because it's not true. If you want to take the time to get in shape, you have to exercise. That's hard. And you have to modify your diet, and that's hard. And you do that over time, and the progress is slow. And I understand that. And spiritually, the same thing is true. Making a decision by God's grace that you're going to spend time in His Word on a daily basis, day after day after day after day, is hard. But you have to do it. You say, what would a crash diet look like? There's all kinds of crash diets in Christianity. People will tell you, oh, you're struggling with smoking? You just need to cast out the demon of smoking. And then you can get read Anderson's books. And not Ward. This is a different Anderson. He's a good one, okay? And read about how you have power encounters. And if you could just rebuke the demon of smoking, you won't smoke anymore. Or if you could rebuke the demon of lust, you won't lust after new cars anymore. Or whatever the case might be. You say, what is that? Those are things that simply don't work. You know, people talk about, wow, maybe if you would just walk an aisle and make a big emotional decision. I want to be careful. It is not wrong to walk an aisle. It's not right to walk an aisle. So many churches have come forward invitations. I am not suggesting that's wrong at all. I do want to remind you, and I have to be very careful how I say this, there's no more of Jesus in the front of this room than the back of this room. And if you're thinking you're smoking, and if you could just walk an aisle, then all of a sudden you won't smoke anymore, I'm not telling you it's impossible, but the fact of the matter is it probably is not going to work, and I'll be the first one to tell you I know from experience, because I have tried, and it doesn't work. But what happens is, step by step, if we stay in the Word. Now, it may mean that you're in a certain setting and they want people to come forward to walk an aisle. That's fine. But whether it's, wow, if I just had the second blessing, or if I would just start fasting, then somehow, no. You need to be in the Word. Day by day by day, your whole life in the Word. And you're never old enough to stop. You're never godly enough to stop. Until the day you die, by God's grace, you must be in the Word to grow. And this is what we call progressive sanctification. Now, I have a little diagram that I've shown in the past, but I thought maybe for those who haven't maybe seen this in the past, and maybe for others that it would be a review, I hope it would just be a simple, helpful view. A helpful review. This is Christian growth, okay? You say, what happens? In a moment of time, you come to know Christ. Regeneration takes place in a moment of time. There's no one in this room that got saved over time. Now, you might have heard the gospel over time, and the Lord may have been working in your life, and you may have been considering it, but there was one moment of time where you were like that. You became a Christian. Okay, we could call that regeneration. I just called it here salvation. Then you will spend the rest of your life in what is called progressive sanctification. And that process will continue all of your life until you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our second, okay, that's glorification. And you'll see him and you'll be like him because you'll see him just as he is, John writes. So salvation, moment of time, glorification, moment of time. What's this long walk in between? It's called progressive sanctification. And many would say, okay, I'm with you, Greg, but don't we backslide? And the fact of the matter is, unfortunately, we do. And so if you want to watch, just right in here, you say, what's going on when I backslide? Well, the fact of the matter is, we have our ups and our downs. And there are times where, boy, I'm just in the Word and it's such a blessing, I don't want to stop. And I'm going to go home and listen to that sermon again. Man, that was a blessing. And I just want to tell someone about Jesus. And you're like, wow. And there are other times that, again, we're not doing so well at fighting the sin that's within. And we're going down. So life has ups and downs. And yet at the same time, you can draw a line of mean regression right up through that. And you're going to find in the life of any believer that there is progressive sanctification. I wish it were different. Just if I could, I wish if we could all do something to get to glorification, I would be the first one to do it, and I would ask you to join me. But it just doesn't work. You must be in the Word on a daily basis. I must be in the Word on a daily basis. I could illustrate this again. You've seen these illustrations before, but I'm just hoping maybe even the second time. I come off the platform, right? I come down where I sit in the beginning of a service with my wife, and then there comes a time where it's time for me to go on the platform. And you say, how do you get up there? I'm just going to jump. Well, let's just pretend it's higher or I can't jump or whatever. No, I can't do it. I'll fall. But I can, one step at a time, I can walk up this platform one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time, and I can follow Jesus and I could change and I can grow. And that demands daily time in God's Word. That's what I see here in this text, 1 Peter 2:2. It's just like a baby grows, okay? And even when there's the hard times in life, we are still growing. All of that, we are progressively sanctified through the milk of the Word. We must crave God's Word as babies crave it. We progressively spiritually grow as babies progressively physically grow. That's half tonight. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Let's take a look at one other passage. Would you open, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18? Because you might be thinking, okay, I'm reading my Bible. What am I looking for? I mean, am I trying to get all of the names of the kings down? Like our Wednesday night Bible study with Ward, right? I'm still amazed. People ask Ward questions, right? What about this king? What about that king? And he just goes, oh, this, that, this, that. And I'm thinking, wow, I can't even pronounce all these names, you know? And he knows where they reigned and what they did. You say, is the goal to know as much as Pastor Ward and have all the facts down? No. I mean, that's a good thing. But that's not the goal. You say, so what am I looking for? Okay, 2 Corinthians, please. I'll read verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Our second point tonight. We are progressively sanctified as we what? As we behold Christ in the Word. I'm not against getting all the names of the kings down. I'm not against knowing who was in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. I'm not against having clear in your mind that there were actually three parts to the return of taking away Israel in the captivity, right? Or something like that. I'm probably confusing on that even. But what we're doing more than that is we're not just trying to pass tests of Bible doctrines, even though some of you are taking Bible doctrines, and I hope you do well. But what we're doing is we're looking for Jesus Christ. We want to hear, behold the Lord's glory in the word. Look at verse 18, please. It says we all. So this is true for all Christians. This is not just a select few. This is for all of us. We all with, King James says, open face, or many of you have, as I have, with unveiled face. So what does it mean to have an unveiled face? Well, drop back to verse 14, please, and let's get just a bit of context. 2 Corinthians 3:14, talking about unbelievers. Their mind were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, that's the Bible, the same veil remains unlifted. So an unsaved person reads the Bible, what happens? There's a veil. Notice the end of verse 14. It is removed in Christ. Verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But, verse 16, whenever a person turns to the Lord, that's salvation, the veil is taken away. When you put faith in Jesus Christ, the veil's taken away, and for the first time, you can understand the Bible. I know I've said this before. Never be surprised when you try to explain the Bible to somebody who's not a Christian and they don't get it. That makes perfectly good sense. Because this is not a natural book, it's a supernatural book. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit within, you're just not going to get it. But what happens is once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the veil is taken away. Verse 18, we all with unveiled face. That's just another way of saying we all that are believers. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. This, I don't believe I'm pushing the illustration too much. This book is a mirror. And I cannot see God. No one can see God and live, right? Where is God? Well, God's everywhere. I understand that. But if we can just, for the point of illustration, say God is up in heaven. We know Jesus Christ bodily is in heaven. You say, how do I see his glory? Well, I can't look up and see, but I can take this word and illustration. It's like a mirror. And I'm saying, I see. I spend time in my daily Bible reading, and I am seeing the glory of the Lord. And I am saying, "What, boy, God's loving kindness, it's absolutely incredible. It's wonderful. God's mercy, God's compassion, God's love. God's judgment on sin that all of those people were being judged for. And Lord, I too should be judged. And yet I will not be because my faith is in Jesus Christ." And wherever you're reading, you're seeing God's glory and it has an effect on you. You say, what is the effect? We are progressively transformed by the Spirit as we behold the glory of God in the Word. Do you see it there in verse 18? It says, our being transformed. Now, I want to be careful. If you're reading a King James, I believe it says, are changed into the same image. And that's fine, but just make sure you understand what that means. It doesn't mean are changed into the same image. Literally, it says, are continually being transformed. It is very, very progressive into the same image. And notice what it says in verse 18 right after that. From glory to glory. Think of that as the stair steps if you have more than one level in your home. From glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. You say, how do you grow spiritually? The same way you get upstairs. From glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. One step at a time growing as you daily spend time in God's Word and see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens? That is how, the end of verse 18, the Holy Spirit changes you. It's not you. It is God working in you, both to desire and to will for his good pleasure. That's the end of verse 18. Just as from the Lord the Spirit. We are progressively sanctified as we behold Christ in the Word. Again, let's make just some very practical applications from this text. Some of this could be overlap with 1 Peter 2:2. First of all, We don't change ourselves. We are progressively transformed by the Spirit. You say, Greg, I want to love my wife more like Christ loved the church. Okay, you can't do it. The Spirit has to do it in you. You say, I want to be a wife that's more submissive to my husband. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit has to do it. You say, I sure wish my kids would obey me more. Don't start with obedience. Start with them having time in the Word. Because whenever we're talking about spiritual growth, it's something that we can't pull off by ourselves. We just can't. So we don't change ourselves. We're progressively transformed by the Spirit. And then secondly, this change that the Spirit does in our lives doesn't take place in a moment. But verse 18, just like 1 Peter 2:2, we are continually being transformed. And then thirdly, you say, okay, so I'm supposed to just sit back and wait to be changed. No, no, no. You are not passive. You said, I have to be passive because you just told me I can't change myself and it's all the Spirit. That's correct. So what do I do? Get your Bible out and engage in daily Bible reading. Every day. That's work. I know that. That's hard. I know that. We wouldn't think of going on a trip with the girls in their car seats without having bottles with us. I mean, not even think of it. Not even think of it. And you and I should never think of even trying to get through the day without reading God's Word. And that means we may need to make some adjustments that maybe the football game, I'll use something that, you know, that I enjoy. Maybe that football game's not as important as I thought, or at the very least, record it and watch it later. And maybe spending a little bit less time in Facebook is okay. And students, I have to be careful about this, maybe spending a little bit of less time in your math is a good thing. Okay, some of you are saying amen, you know. This is the conclusion I came to when I became a believer as an undergrad. Finals week, test coming up. Lord, I'm just going to read your word. Now, I'm not saying hours, but I'm going to read your word. And that means I'm going to study a little bit less for the exams. And I have very vivid memories of sitting in an exam, math or whatever, and then looking at a question, and it just clicked. And I would get it, and I would just, I'm not making this up, just pause and say, thank you. I think that one was right from you. Because you knew I could have studied more last night, but I read my Bible instead. And I'm thinking that was just you saying, good job, Greg. Now, you can disagree with that, but I believe God does those kinds of things as you put Him first and honor Him. You say, okay, so this is really great. If I read my Bible all day and don't study math at all, I'll get an A. I did not say that, okay? Please don't take it out of context. I'm saying study and do your very best, but make time for the Lord. We're not passive. We actively read God's word, but remember, please, you have to do more than read. We have to daily look for His glory. You say, what would be a good prayer before you do your daily Bible reading? Lord, would you show me your glory? I don't want to just read. I'm okay with the king's names. I'm okay with whatever, what's going on in the Exodus. I'm okay with whatever Paul's writing or Peter's writing or what Hebrews is talking about. But Lord, would you show me your glory? I want to see your glory. I want to see you better. I want to know you. And that is how we grow. And it has to happen every day. Now, I could end with a number of different pictures. I wanted to end with the picture of a baby. And so I thought I'll end with a little picture of Valerie. And she is a sweet little girl, 5 pounds at birth. and born this past week. And we had a wonderful time praying with her this weekend, and mom and dad, and spending a time with her. Now, she has a lot of challenges, and there's going to be a number of difficulties that she faces, but she will not survive apart from regular milk. It's impossible. With all of the surgeries and the care and whatever the doctors want to do, that sweet little girl will not survive without milk or some kind of formula or whatever we call it. Won't happen. That's a picture of me. You say, Greg, you were never that cute. Okay. That's a picture of you. How about that? And the fact of the matter is, there's other things we have going on in life. I understand that. And you have jobs, and you have family responsibilities. You have things you have to do on the car, and there's things you have to do around the house, and there's things you do to keep your relationships going, working on your marriage, your kids, taking care of parents, or whatever the case. And none of that is wrong, but can I simply say, without the milk of God's word, you will not change, you will not grow, you will not survive. This is how Christians change and grow. And so my concluding comment this evening is very simple. Even as a mother or a nurse would plan regular feeding for a young child, because we want to see that young baby grow. Do you realize that you must do the same thing? Whatever translation you're reading is great. We're going to talk about translations later. Whether you're doing check off on a paper list or whether you're doing the app, and my girls already say, Dad, you're going to talk about that app thing every time you... Okay, I am, because I'm excited about it. And I'm just, that's what I'm doing. But if you don't want to do it on your app, that's fine. You have to do it. You can't grow without it. You say, I'll just do all my Bible reading on Saturdays. No, guys, you can't. This little girl can't drink all of her milk on a Saturday. She'll die before she gets to Saturday. We, as God's children, grow as we behold the glorious Christ in the Word, and then we grow progressively. If you're discouraged, if you're facing a hard time, if there's something going on in your life that you kind of, you've been fighting and it's just so hard, my word for you tonight is be patient and just stay in the Word. You say, Greg, it's not me, it's my spouse, my parents, or my kids. Okay, I'm with you. Can I suggest don't even think about the problem? Start right here. Is that person in the Word? And rather than talking to your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents about something going on, why don't you talk to them about time in the Word, assuming they're believers? Because this is how Christians grow, progressively, as they behold Christ in the Word. Let's bow our heads tonight as we close. Again, a very anticipated conclusion. If you are engaged in looking for Christ in your regular Bible reading, I know that you're already glad to hear this message because you're praying for your brothers and your sisters. If you're here tonight and you still are not engaged in regular daily Bible reading, I know exactly what that's like. I've been there. I think almost all of us have been there, but tonight this is for you. Not walking an aisle, not raising a hand, even though if you want to talk to me after the service, I would sure be glad to talk, and there's others here the same way. But maybe for whatever reason, somehow tonight, it just clicked. And if it clicked tonight, I don't believe that's random, and I don't believe it's me. I believe that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you through God-breathed words. If you really realize tonight that you absolutely must be engaged in regular daily Bible reading. In fact, by God's grace, before you go to sleep tonight, you're going to get back into or begin regular Bible reading. I don't need to know that. Only God needs to know. And you need his help. So let's pause just for a moment so that you can pray for God to help you. And for all of us that are doing it, let's pray for brothers and sisters right now who need to begin. Let's pause and just have a silent moment of prayer.